can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Wind it down too early, Jack. We want to hear the girls sing. So, Don, this is the sports segment, but we're going to morph it into a whole lot of things we didn't mention. You know why? Because you wasted 20 minutes of I was explaining about the rocket because people are interested, and you got onto Robert Louis Stevenson's rocket engine.
Hang on, we heard about the buses going on the freeway. Geez,
That's a genuine topic.
You hijacked, and we were supposed to stick to the topic.
That was a genuine topic. So there's a lot of things now. For a start. Well, this might be sport. You did the sport, your sport thing first.
Well, I watched the women's cricket. The game, I think they're being played up in Queensland, India and Australia. And I'm going to make a prediction. It's a big prediction. But the Indian girls or the Indian ladies cricket team is going to be the best cricket team in the world, the strongest. I cannot see...
Men and women included?
Well, the men are right.
Why don't the women play against the men? See how they go.
Oh no! Don't be stupid.
That'd be no good.
No. Just listen. Okay. I would say in the field of women's cricket, they're just going to be unbeatable. It's the number one sport in India. The population is such, and the talent will be unearthed. It'll be unbelievable how good this Indian cricket team, the ladies one especially, will be.
I wasn't being smart ass or facetious. Would it be interesting to see, or would this be like men playing women in tennis? Would it be interesting to see if the top women's team could play against the Shield side or a...
No, John, please. Number one is they can't ball the bowler. They bowl at about 100, I think just over 100 clicks, might be 115. But one Indian lady, I know it's a bit like the Shane Warne ball that got gatting,
yes.
The leg break. This lady bowled an off cutter and, God, did it cut back.
So
and
speed took the well. No, so it's nothing to do with speed.
The way she cut this ball from off onto the stumps, Lisa Healy just had no chance.
So if
just
it's nothing to do with speed and strength, then this spin bowling is not necessarily to do with speed. No. So why couldn't they compete on a reasonably equal level?
I don't think they could.
All right.
But the ball that was bowled was unbelievable.
So I'm just jumping around now, Don. So they did a survey of the top 50 coolest neighbourhoods in the world. Top 50 coolest neighbourhoods.
Is this sport?
No, I just said I'm jumping around.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
You can intersperse it with sport. I've got sport to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something I didn't get to mention because you wasted so much time about trivial matters to start with. The top 50-est coolest neighbourhoods.
50-est.
The top 50 coolest neighbourhoods, this is not climate or anything, this is cool, meaning, you know, wow, chic and chic and all that sort of stuff. I'll just read them out. I won't read the 50, but you'll be amazed at this. They said the number one coolest neighbourhood in the world was Nauribo in Copenhagen, Nauribo. Then it was Andersonville in Chicago, number two. 3, Zhongo in Seoul.
Where?
Seoul.
They don't spell it.
S-E-O-U-L. Seoul. Seoul. How do you say
that? S-O.
No, Seoul. Seoul.
Seoul?
Seoul.
Korea.
Seoul.
What did you call it?
A Seoul.
I thought it was a fish.
Seoul. You're quite right. Seoul's a fish, but that's S-O-L-E.
Okay,
so Zhongo in Seoul.
Seoul in Korea.
Zhongo in Seoul. That's number three. Number four is Leith in Edinburgh, which is in Scotland.
Yeah, I know where it is.
5 is Station District in, I've never heard of this country, Vilnius. 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 I've never heard of that country.
But, I have, but I don't know where it is.
Chelsea in New York. This is number six. There's a reason I'm saying this. Number seven is the Shi district in Budapest. Budapest.
Hungary.
Number eight is Nor in Dakar. Dakar?
Dakar in Germany.
No, Dakar's in, isn't Dakar in the Middle East or India or somewhere?
Dakar. Oh, Dakar, okay.
Sai Kung in Hong Kong, maybe where they sell shit the bed, but our Hong Kong correspondent, Sai Kung, that's number nine. Number 10 is, the coolest city in the world behind those is?
Chirac.
Richmond. In Melbourne. So, Richmond is the number 10 coolest city in the world, according to this survey. And then it goes right on down the list. And Surrey Hills, number 19 in Sydney, is the number 19th. And it goes right down to 50, where El Arian in Santiago in Chile is number 50.
So, Australia only had two?
Only two. It's lucky we got any. So, Richmond is number 10 coolest city in the world. And I want to ask you, Don, what, I'm not disagreeing with it, what do you think the intrinsic values of Richmond would make it the 10th coolest city on the planet? What do you think would make it that Dustin Martin lives there?
Politics, I suppose.
What?
Their politics. It's green orientated, isn't it? Or predominantly green.
What,
hipsters,
that'd make it
hipsters?
What's that?
Hipsters? Do they live in Richmond?
Does that make it cool?
Well,
that's just avant-garde, you know, bohemian. You've got to be hip to be part of that district. Well, I think Richmond would feel that's where Larry Dooley's coffee shop is.
Oh, well, that's why it's there. It's in a cool position.
They pay great coffee.
Have you been there recently?
I have. I went in there yesterday. I went in there.
Anybody in there that
I
you
saw the Rocket in there. Oh, the Rocket frequents Larry Dooley's because the coffee is excellent, as you know, Don.
Were you speaking?
You know that, don't you?
Yes. I said the coffee's good.
Yeah, you said that, yeah. What did you say? Was I speaking?
Yes.
What do you mean? Well, I got laryngitis.
Yes.
No.
Or was this...
I'm speaking. Was
is
I
this
speaking?
A meeting place? Was it?
Was I speaking to the Rocket?
Yes.
Because I was speaking to the Rocket. The Rocket and I are on very good terms, Don. Yourself? Have you given him a call to say you'd like him to come back here and chat to us, Don?
I don't know what this.
But
has
can
got
I
to,
ask
I
you,
really don't know what this has got to do with sport.
Well, I said we're jumping around. Could I ask you a question, Don? What? Why don't you have a reasonable relationship with the Rocket? As a matter of interest, I'd be interested in that because when he was here, it was like I was like the referee. I watched that fight between.
I watched
the fight between Tyson Fury. And Dante Wilder.
Yes.
And what a fantastic fight.
Why do you think that?
I spent... Because it went for 11 of the 12 rounds for a start,
yes.
So we got our money's worth. And they actually went at it hard. And
do you think that Tyson Fury is a little slow in his execution of his punches? He's not crisp. It fascinates me.
Well, it turned out he was, Don, because he ended up getting the shit beaten out of him.
Who?
Wilder.
Yeah, Wilder. But then again, I've watched Wilder. I wonder if the boxers are as good technically as they have in the past, because I've watched Wilder in other fights and he kind of throws roundhouses at his opponent. I was taught to throw them directly.
You were you, Don?
Yeah, by Billy Rainsbury.
Yeah, I'd like to see you fight Dante Wilder.
Billy Rainsbury taught me.
You'd be there the Marquess of Queensbury or the Queen of Marksbury, as someone said. You'd be there, the Marquess of Queensbury, jabbing out that left rat-a-tat-tat-knee, bring the overhand right and belt the living shit out of you, Don.
That's right. Anyway, Billy was a champion.
Knock you into a cocked hat.
Champion Australian boxer back in the 30s when it was all a go. I think he was featherweight or something. But anyway, he was great.
Well, Billy Rainsbury. Tyson Fury is an imposing man.
They are very imposing. 6 foot nine. Their technique, I wonder if it could be improved.
Of course it could be, but he's not an athletic looking man, Tyson Wilder, but he's just an intimidating figure.
And Wilder or Fury?
Wilder. Did you watch it?
I did.
Good. Well, what do you mean? Who do you think I'm speaking about? Wilder is a very, very sharp and honed boxer and a specimen of a man.
Well, his
Wilder
trainer has come out.
Big, yes. Big, unsculptured, a brute.
Yes,
that's
he's
what he
6 foot nine and 270
and
odd pounds.
And he speaks, and he's a showman, and he
yes,
thanked,
all of
thanked
that.
His Lord and Saviour.
All of that, and all
he
of
was
that,
very,
and
very
well. Very well promoted, but I just wonder about their boxing technique.
He said he couldn't have got anywhere without his Lord and Saviour.
It was interesting that Wilder's trainer had come out and predicted that or said that he just didn't train. He's a natural.
Yes.
Who doesn't really train. He should have been hitting the hard bag and all the rest of it.
Yes. And I think his Lord and Saviour got him through, maybe. He put
Tyson Fury's.
He put a lot of his success down to that. So that's good, isn't it, to have a belief in a God, whichever one that is, and actually say it publicly. People shy away from it because they think, oh.
The aftermath of the grand final's continuing, isn't it, with regard to
selling footballs,
and Babbage.
Selling footballs with
we talked about
signatures
the,
on
the,
them.
Yes, but also the aftermath or the support from the Melbourne 2 supporters, they're in a little bit more trouble, I think, once they've done their time or faced the charges in Perth, they'll be off to Darwin.
Quite a controversy as to where they got the wristbands and the passes to get into the rooms, to get into the lunch, to get into the aftermatch entertainment, to get into a very high sourced AFL officials apparently provided them with. I don't know if they're the AFL officials from the Melbourne Football Club or AFL officials from the actual top office or the offices, but very, very controversial.
Well, it's interesting to where they sourced. I think it's more interesting where they sourced those bands. We're not going to say it's there, but it's very, very interesting as to where they
sourced. And if they did get those bands sourced from high-ranking officials at the AFL, would it be dependent on those officials finding out if the people were there legally or not? And maybe it's got nothing to do with them. If they turned up, they might say, oh, good on you. They wouldn't know that they haven't quarantined. They could say, yes, oh, seeing as you're here, here are the wristbands, and come to the lunch and come to the aftermatch and come to the shindig. They might give them all the passes. They mightn't be their responsibility to know if they'd just blown into town illegally.
It could be guilt by association here too.
It could be, Don. That happens to a lot of things. And there's a lot of that going on, Don.
You know, I felt the other day, I watched a replay.
Could I, just before
go on.
No, I'll tell you, you know what ruined the fight for me?
Oh, and we're back onto the fight. Yeah,
well, I just was going to, before we got off it.
Yep.
You couldn't help the referee. You've got two large. This is like AFL football and the umpires. They just want to be part of it. The referee, you've got two big men slugging it out. He kept shouting instructions to them, pushing them away.
Well, yeah, but hang on. There was tactics involved here, John. And I reckon Fury was really. Well, I can understand why, because he was a bigger man. And he was endeavouring to tire.
Yeah, he was.
The smaller man by holding him and pushing and shoving.
Could
and
I give you an analogy?
I understand. So, yes, the referee was doing it. Well, I thought it was a difficult job.
It wasn't a difficult job.
Why? So he just let Fury continue.
Did you ever watch the three fights, was the two of them, of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier?
Yes.
They, the referee just, when that was obvious that they were in a clinch and couldn't
they
fight.
They didn't clinch. They didn't clinch like this. Those two, Fraser and Ali, didn't
he
clinch
didn't
like these two.
He didn't shout instructions to them. I mean, keep back and let them do it. And when they clinch and there's no one punching, say, break and let them. He
they
kept
wouldn't break,
jumping
John.
Around like a little like
John,
a little bloody
Fury
terrier.
He wouldn't break. He was that was part of his tactic. So I didn't get upset by their referee. I thought he had a difficult job.
Nah,
it
drove me.
Yeah, but you're
fucking
that
mad.
Way inclined.
Okay, so now Rex. This is football. Rex Hunt. Rex Hunt.
He was a sportsman. Yeah, a very, very good sportsman. Rex Hunt. Very, very good sportsman.
At?
Football.
Oh, yeah, football. I think.
And
at?
You call fishing a sport?
No, it's a recreation.
Well, he was very good at recreation.
Would you call fishing a sport? Would you
call
billiards
a sport?
Would you call billiards a sport?
Sport fishing, I suppose.
Would you call billiards a sport? Would you call chess a sport? Would you call fishing a sport? Anyhow, he's a world-class fisherman. World-class. And he was a very good footballer, Don. So... So Rex thinks that some of his mental machinations might be due to CTE. You know what CTE is, and unfortunately,
is that the reason why he drove over MAGA Panthers? You know he's fucked MAGA Panthers.
I'm not laughing at Rex having
MAGA Panthers. I had to replant them.
Rex has been responsible for some weird things. Driving onto your lawn an Avia
front lawn. I've cultivated, fertilised my front and back lawn, and he's driven over the.
He fertilised it once, didn't he? Didn't he piss on him?
Nah, that was down at the cafe.
I'm not laughing
in the car park.
Can I make a point? I'm not laughing at Rex. Thinking he might have CTE, because the only way you find out if you have CTE, I think, is if you pass on, you die, and then they examine your brain.
Do you think you've got CTE?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, now, so that's a good question.
Because I often consider, because I forget things,
yes,
or where I put
so
things
Rex
down.
Said
or
he,
do you think that's
Rex said
just
he
part
read,
of...
Rex said he read an article in the paper, and it said the five signs that you might have CTE are memory loss... depression or he said he had four out of the five.
Well, what are they? What? Give me the five.
Well, I can't,
obviously you've been in conversation with him.
Yeah, I have. He said, do you think I've got CTE? Now, CTE...
Did you record... Don't you... okay.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
What?
That's what CTE means, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Jesus.
Encephalopathy. And unfortunately, see, Murray Wiedemann, who has just passed on, they said that he had CTE. And Rex was wondering, he might donate his brain to, do you think he'd donate his brain to, so they could see?
I don't know. You're telling the story.
Well, anyhow, he thinks having read the article.
You've had a conversation.
Yes,
recently.
I have. Yes, recently. And
I haven't heard from him for a week.
And I'm what?
I haven't heard from him for a week.
Anyhow, he said some of his extreme things that he does, and he mentions the extreme things that he does, like when he drove down to your place and did wheelies on your front lawn and ripped up all your plants.
No, he didn't.
All right.
Get it right. Tell the correct story.
All right. I'm sorry. Didn't you threaten him with a gun or something, or you said you threw that into the bay, which I thought is an unusual way to dispose of a firearm, throw it into the bay. Anyhow, I'm not making... It sounds like I am, but I'm not making fun of you. Rex says that he thinks he has CTE.
You delivered a load of wood to me. Did I tell you that? Very what? Good wood to burn.
Well, what's that?
There not? Was kindling.
Hang on. What was that?
Rex.
Yep, I'm on about
when
CTE.
He did come down and drove over MAGA Panthers, he had a look around my wood pile and realised the wood wasn't good burning wood. So the next time he came down, he bought...
Yeah. Yes. You bought what? You bought what, Don? Come on. Bought what? Bought wood.
Wood.
Why? You said
because
he put a...
the wood that I had, he believed, wasn't good in the Kanara. It wouldn't burn
in the,
well.
In the what?
In the Kanara. That's a heater, a wood heater that...
A Kanara.
That's anyway. You're not into this, so.
No, I'm not into Kanaras. No, Don, no.
You're not into wood. You wouldn't. You live.
I'm
in your
not
little,
into
you,
wood. You what does that mean?
You just live in your little unit in the Docklands. You wouldn't.
It's pretty
have
hard to have a fireplace
I
if you live
well,
in an
I have
apartment.
A fireplace.
Because the chimney goes
and
into the people
Rex,
above you's place.
And Rex knows about how to light a fire, and he recognised that the wood that I had wasn't good burning wood. So the next trip
what do you
down,
mean he recognises how to light a fire.
Well, he knows about wood and lighting a fire, but he recognised that I didn't have good wood. And his big, kind heart brought down kindling
and a vacuum. You said he left a vacuum on top of the kindling. Did he?
He brought down three types of wood, John, which you need for a fire. You need kindling to get it going. Then you need a little bit bigger to...
There's a joke about the wood
and
sniffer.
Then you have the bigger pieces which burn all night. And a very, very good work. And it was very generous of him. And on top of the packets of wood that were delivered was a vacuum cleaner.
What? Why was the vacuum cleaner
well, he
there?
Found it on the way down on the side of the road at Mordialli.
Was it operative?
It was as he said, it was his sense of humour.
Ah, oh, it's meant to clean up
to
your
clean
house.
Clean up my house.
And how do you know if your house was untidy?
Well, he inspected it.
He might have been sent by the council. He might have been sent by the council to inspect people's properties.
What, the Meals on Wheels department?
Do you have heard the joke about the bloke who could smell, who could identify any type of wood by smelling it, don't you? And he put his nose down to the first test and he said, that's a piece of jarrah. He said, I can smell that. He said, it's made out of
Not made out of anything. Jarrah is
no,
jarrah.
He said, no, but that chair is made out of jarrah. He smelled okay. it. And so they brought another piece of furniture out and he said, that's silver birch. He said, that's birch wood.
He smelled that too?
Yeah, and they thought, oh, they'll fix him up here. They brought out an old cooter box, didn't they?
Cooter box. A barracuda box.
No, I can't tell you.
A fish box.
No, he said, I can't tell you. I can't finish that joke off. No, so Don. So Rex thinks he may have CTE as a result of reading the article in the paper.
Well,
and because he does some extreme things, like we all do. And then he said, you think, and you just said, you think Don's got it. Do you think you've got CTE?
Well, I...
And you asked, do I think I have
well,
it?
Well, I put my mobile phone down. I don't know where I've lost. Do you think... Or do you just think I've got a lot on my mind? I misplace things.
And then you speak about things that have nothing to do with the topic at hand, like we've discovered here in the earlier segment. You just drift off. You and Rex, I might have it, but are you depressed or not? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel you need someone? Do you feel unsure of yourself? Do you feel discontented with life? Do you feel life's all that sort of stuff? I've definitely got it then. That's the case. I reckon we could get a group booking. You, me and Rex will go along and see a doc and say, just walk in and go, shop! And Eddie Key said, what could I do for you boys? I said, well, one of us is going to donate our brain. In fact, if they donated three of our brains, they might get a complete whole one. They'll say, yeah. So anyhow, that's Rex. So that's sort of sport. Now, you said, I heard this on the news as well. You told me, I don't want to break your story, but it's not broken because you were going to... You said that someone was going to, as a group of people standing against Jeff Kennett, this regime at Hawthorn.
There's going to be an election for the first time in about 30 or 40 years at Hawthorn this year, so I believe.
So I heard Jeff Kennett on the news. This is the news that said, remember I said that they'd opened up with COVID, then they went to the Shapes, the number one flavour for Shapes. This is on the news, the national news. The Brockhoff Shapes was chicken flavoured.
And then they went to Ricky Nixon.
No, then they went to, Australia's going to put a rocket on the moon or something. And then Ricky Nixon. So they were the three. And the
footnote.
The fourth or fifth item under sport was that Kennett was asked, Jeff Kennett was asked, that there was a group going to stand against him. He said, it's news to me. I don't know anything about it. He said, that's the news to me.
Did he say that?
He said that. He said, I've not heard
anything.
Very,
very interesting that he said that, because he was approached, I think, a few weeks ago, or he was approached by one of the nominated, Ian Silk.
And I don't know.
He went and asked, so I've led to believe that he went and asked to be, if he could go come onto the committee. Now, he asked Kennett, and Kennett never came back to him. And Andrew Gowers went out on Monday and informed Jeff Kennett that
people were going to stand against him.
Yes. So why would Jeff Kennett say that? When did you hear that news?
Today.
Well, there you go.
Well, he just said he maybe have been. I, incidentally, because you told me this yesterday, I didn't speak to him. I texted Jeff. I said if he'd like to come on and have a chat about anything, but that he'd be welcome. But I didn't hear back from him, so we gave.
And I also made the invitation available to Andrew Gowers and Ian Silk to come on here. And it's interesting that a number of past players have got involved in this. Namely, Peter Schwab,
yes,
Bruce Stevenson, Gary Ayres and Chris Langford. But they are the proposers and seconders.
In fairness to Jeff, he mightn't have heard a formal challenge has come to him, and that's why he said, I know nothing of it.
Well, he is, might being, be hearsay. He is being a little bit cute, I think is a good word.
Cute.
He knows.
Cute is not a word I'd use when describing Jeff.
What would you use?
He's being pedantic or... Yes, disingenuous, which means you're not...
Well, they're basically very
cute.
Unhappy with the way Jeff conducts himself in the media in regard to Hawthorn. I don't know whether the people nominate... I think it's very healthy that they're having an election, because it's always done by co-option onto the board. People are asked to come onto the board. It's not left open to the members. The members should really, and they wouldn't be aware of these people because they haven't got a profile except for Andrew Gowers. I think, and my looking in, Andrew Gowers was on the board. He was put off the board by Jeff Kennett in favour of Richard Vandenberg. I think Andrew Gowers may have an axe to grind. Ian Silk has retired. I don't know his background, whether he's a Hawthorn person. I've got my doubts about the two candidates, but I've also got my doubts about who they're proposing at Hawthorn as well. The board are proposing Simon Taylor, and also Tim Shearer is standing. Sure. He's up for re-election. So I don't think either party has done a real research of who is available out there. They've asked some people. And also, when you break this down at Hawthorn... What are you going on, Gord?
I'll tell you what, Don. I'll tell you why. You were a Leviathan at Hawthorn. You played in premierships and you captained them. And the only club in the AFL that you ever speak about, chapter and verse, you mention names of the whole of the...
Well, you know what's going on. That's your club. Do you know anything about Geelong?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, you'd be the same, as we all
are. Well, I don't
keep
banging on about it.
Well, why is it in the news?
Well, because you've
well, you want to know what's going
on. I know, but you've never...
Okay, well, I also...
Well, did you know there's a move at St Kilda? There's a move...
Well, hang on. Have we finished? Have we exhausted Hawthorn?
Not at all. No, you're going to go through all the names that have ever played for
him. Well, let me finish, because what's the point of two new members going onto the board and their agenda is to replace the president? Have they done their homework and asked somebody who is already on the board for support as well, in order to get the numbers to dispose of the president? In other words, I think there might be somebody on the board not loyal to Jeff Kennett.
Treacherous.
That's what I'm insinuating.
Okay.
So you get two men. If these two men do get up, what are they going to do when they and their agenda is to get rid of Jeff Kennett? They'd have to have the numbers. Two doesn't get the numbers. They have spoken to somebody else, and I think somebody else might be ambitious on the board to become president.
I didn't say it wasn't a genuine...
There is more to this than meets the eye.
I didn't say this wasn't a genuine...
You'd say, well, I am informing you about what I believe's going on.
Thank you, Don.
Now tell me what else is happening in the world of football.
I didn't say it wasn't a genuine story, but you go on, you mentioned...
Oh, geez, I sit and listen to you bullshit on.
What a bullshit on about what?
Oh, God. What anyway, tell me what else is going, because it seems to be Carlton's in turmoil with regard to their committee. Collingwood, now Hawthorn.
Geelong have cleared out. A lot of people have vacated Geelong.
What, committee-wise?
Well, a lot of people...
What do you think about them extending Chris Scott's tenure as coach?
Have they done that?
They have.
Oh, well, I think that's short-sighted. Maybe.
Unless he changes his style of play, I'm not questioning the man at all.
No, he's
His style of play leaves a lot to be desired.
None of this is ever personal. But they've got Eddie Betts down there now. What's Eddie Betts going to...
Well, he's a specialist coach, I suppose.
Is that what he's down there for?
He's in the groove.
In a sanctum?
Well, they just keep floating around, these assistant coaches. Once you're in, you're in.
Well, he's just finished playing football.
That's the problem with you. You're just not in. Otherwise, you would have been football operations manager at the AFL. Anyway, is there any other clubs that you know of? We've mentioned three that are in a little bit of...
I think there's a move afoot. I think there's movement, I should say, at the station, because the word had passed around on that an entrepreneur of immense importance and prominence, and a man who is a prostodontist. A prostodontist. That's a person who makes implants to the stars and is a very high.
What are you talking about? Teeth?
Yes. Man,
implants. Well, that could be anything, couldn't it, nowadays?
No, this is these two people, very high-profile people, making a move at St Kilda, I'm told.
Hang on. Who was the first one? What do you call him?
A prostodontist? No, a high-profile entrepreneur. You could call him the camper king, if you like.
Oh, Jerry Ryan?
Yeah.
Jerry, if it wasn't for Jerry Ryan... He kept that club going in its darkest time.
I'm told that Jerry...
He is a genuine St Kilda person.
Jerry and the pacemakers. Jerry is a St...
Jerry and the pacemakers.
Jerry,
I was
just a throwaway word. Jerry is a very high profile and keen St Kilda. Yeah. And there's another man, the Tooth Fairy. This is what I just... an affectionate name, the Tooth Fairy.
You know
this
the Tooth Fairy?
I know of the Tooth Fairy. He's the prostodontist. Very world-class prostodontist.
Where's his practice in Ascot Vale?
No. His practice is in...
Prostodontist in Ascot Vale.
No, he's a prosthetist. That's my friend Kevin and your friend. He's the best in the world at what he does, but he doesn't do what this Tooth Fairy does. And I'm not making fun of the Tooth Fairy. He's a very prominent man, and I think his name's Larry Benge. Larry Benge. And he is a very keen St Kilda supporter, and I believe...
And they're dissatisfied.
I didn't say that. Oh. Well, I might have indirectly inferred that, but I think that they are trying to make some move at St Kilda to see if they can lift their stocks through their vast experience and knowledge.
It's a bit of a closed shop at St Kilda.
Well, that's maybe why they are thinking
about
doing
this. Because I recommended a very successful self-made man... A very avid St Kilda supporter to them, but no, it wasn't taken up.
Oh, well, this is maybe why, I'm just reading between the lines, why these two very prominent and capable business execs and tycoons...
This man that I recommended is in their ilk.
Ah, well, there you go.
So they'd have, they've got a lot of supporters, but they've got it. Don't you think it's very incestuous, you know, these...
Hello?
Football, or we as a human race, we're very blinkered.
Blinkered?
Yes, I believe.
Gee, what, us? How many things have we spoken about? We don't, besides you just banging on about Hawthorn at every given opportunity, we've spoken about the world's coolest neighbourhoods. Did you know that they... Who cares about this? How long have the Beatles not been together? Did they break up in 1969 or 70?
I think they did.
Yeah. Well, they've just found out, Paul McCartney, yes, is and the Ringo, only the one... of the two living members, yes, of the Beatles. He's come out and he said, made the revelation, he said, the Beatles broke up because John Lennon said that he was leaving the Beatles to spend more time with Yoko Ono.
Well, we knew that back in 69.
Well, he said that's the official reason. It's just come out
now.
Well,
we kind of read...
Who cares?
We read between the lines as soon as Yoko Ono came on the...
Yoko Ono.
Ono came on the scene. You know, she was sitting in the studio, she was getting involved, and John changed, and that was the word back then.
Well, why has that suddenly come out as news now?
Well, I don't know,
Who cares?
Like, well, they really did change music.
They really did, but there's a hell of a lot of other groups that have broken up since.
Were the most talented duo as far as writing goes.
Duo?
Well, Lennon McCartney.
Oh, I see. Lennon McCartney, just the quad group. Yeah, so that's right, Don. Anyhow, so John Lennon, and you people forget how... you've never heard of Jean Harlow, have you?
She was the
original blonde bombshell.
I understand. She was in Hollywood back in, what was it, the 20s?
Yeah.
Or was it... No, was she before or after Mae West?
About the same time, and she was the original blonde bombshell before Marilyn Monroe took that mantle.
Okay, yes, I know. Okay.
So John Lennon was shot by Hinckley, was it?
I don't know. Anyway,
outside the Dakota building.
Yes,
he was 41.
Really?
41.
God.
And Jean Harlow, who had this huge reputation, if someone said to me, how old do you reckon Jean Harlow was when she died? So, 70, 75.
No, she'd be in her 30s.
26.
Really?
She made... She
what was Marilyn Monroe?
Not
she
sure.
What,
30-something?
Yeah, she young.
And young, Don. That's, gee, how about us? So anyhow, what did I mention? Oh, yes, Yoko. So you said we blinkered, we live our lives blinkered. We've discussed a hell of a lot of things, Don. Climate change, COVID, the rocket. What? No, is there anything else here? Anything else? So have a listen to this. This is finally, we'll do this. Princess Shika Salwa. Princess, she's the Qatar Embassy offered $50 million to the Financial Times not to print the story that she had group sex with seven men in a London hotel.
Is that sport?
That could be sport, but they say that's absolutely fake news. The Financial Times printed that, and the Qatar Embassy offered them $50 million not to run it. The Princess Shika Salwa having group sex with seven men in a London hotel. And I like the quote when someone said that is nonsense. They said the Financial Times doesn't have more than a nodding acquaintance with the facts. That's a good way to say it's a lie, isn't it? Doesn't have more than a nodding acquaintance with the facts. Do you think that would be right, that seven blokes would tip over the princess in a London hotel and the Qatar embassy would offer $50 million not to have it printed? They'd carry that in their fob pocket, the Qatar embassy, the oil baron rich state of 50 mil. That'd be nothing. Don't print it, we'll give you 50 mil. So, okay, we'll give us 50 mil and we won't print it. But they said it's nonsense. They didn't ask the princess, was it true or not? I think she'd been whisked away back to Qatar. And I don't think they could find any of the seven blokes who were meant to have rolled her over. But that's just so...
Do you think Djokovic will come out and play, talking about sport, come out to the Australian Open this year, changing the subject very quickly?
Well,
because he's an anti-vaxxer.
That's right. And then he might have genuine reasons why he doesn't want to get vaxxed.
Very interesting as to whether he'll come out.
Well, that's so. And we're going to have the first Grand Prix, Formula One Grand Prix here next year. What happens if? How can they possibly say that's going ahead if we suddenly have 10,000 cases in January or February, and they've built the whole stadium again, and all the cars have come out like they did the last time, and they pack them up and send them home? Yep. And so we will finish on this. They've now allowed, I think, 10,000 people to go to the Melbourne Cup Festival, Carnival,
10,000, yes.
And yet, so how can they say
There's so many inconsistencies,
John. How can they
John?
Say that and they won't allow kids to go to school?
Mm.
School kids can't, they've got to do homeschooling.
No.
So kids can't go to school who have a very slim chance
of
getting COVID. But 10,000 people can go to the cup.
In free enterprise, you wouldn't employ the bureaucrats that work for this state. They're not impressive individuals. If you were the boss and you were interviewing them for a job, they're not impressive when they first come in. First impression's a lasting impression. They'd have to do a very good sales job in the interview, the verbal interview, to get a job. They're not impressive individuals.
Annalise.
And that's why they're in the job they're in, because they couldn't do
unworthy,
it in the outside world.
Incompetent, unworthy, honestly. People like Annalisa van Diemen, remember her.
But this is not sport.
This is just inadequate and incompetent people trying to run your life for you.
Can I finish off?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew Dellavedova playing basketball back in Australia. Fantastic. I know you're not into it. But also, players nowadays, I really did feel for Chad Wingard. He was interviewed the other night, chased by the news. He was up for trade. He doesn't want to be traded. He's emotionally committed to Hawthorn, and you are trying to find the button. Please, you hit that button.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish. In case you think
you're up and about, Johnny.
Night.